It is 517, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And I'm joined now by Dan Daly, Washington Times sports columnist. He's got a piece in today's Washington Times entitled, "Players Soon May Equate Redskins with Winning." That would be a change, wouldn't it, Dan?
A big change. I think in the past they tended to equate them with being a good paying team. I think that they attracted a lot of free agents for that reason, that Dan Snyder's been willing to open up his wallet to try to build a winner. But I think they're going to look at them a little bit differently now, because for the first time in ages, with some of these younger players they have on offense, RG3 and Alfred Morris and so forth, I mean, they've got some future.
The good days of the Redskins are returning. I can see it. I can see it on the horizon. they really had become a lackluster team and therefore became just a place to work for the players.
Sure. And we've talked about this. I mean, it's been so long, really, since they've been able to lock in with a quarterback for even 4 or 5 years and just have a little bit of a run. And now they've got a kid who's 22 years old who is a tremendous athlete, and if he can keep himself fit and, you know, not run into injury issues, he could play 12, 15 years at a high level.
Yeah, yeah. You had mentioned some funny things that I've forgotten about. The stadium size actually shrinking in capacity at one point. I guess my next question would be, who gets the credit for turning this around? Is it RG3? Is it Alfred Morris? Is it Mike Shanahan? Is it Dan Snyder? Or is it a combination?
Well, I mean, a lot of people have got a hand in it. I mean, Dan withdrew a little bit, which I think people felt like he needed to do, and let football people handle things more, was less involved in contract negotiations and just suggestions about which free agents the team might go after, which free agents might cause the most buzz. And I think that helped. Mike is a guy who had a good track record for the most part in Denver, but it wasn't necessarily as a general manager. It was more a situation where if he had the players, he could win. The question was whether as a player personnel guy, he was going to get them for himself. Toward the end there, he ran into some trouble and he ended up losing his job because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a certain luck element involved here, too. They were certainly lucky to be able to move up and draft RG3, because there are so many teams in that position who, you know, who are 2-14, 3-13, whatever, who just desperately need a quarterback. That's the reason they're so bad. But they just happened to catch a year where the team holding the second pick had taken a quarterback a couple of years earlier with the first pick in the draft, and this is the Rams, and were willing to trade the pick. And even though it was very extravagant, they gave up 3 first-round picks and a second, they were able to get that pick. And Alfred Morris is just manna from heaven, really. You know, when you get a player like that in the 6th round, a kid who can run for 1,600 yards for you in his first season, that's as good as it gets.
You know, how did people miss him? Because it occurs to me that, as you said, he didn't go to the 6th round. Was it the school that he played for? I mean, you know, how did the scouts miss this guy? Because he's got tremendous talent.
Sure. Well, it's not so much that they missed him. I mean, clearly he got drafted. I mean, they knew about him. He was in a program, Florida Atlantic, that's a low-profile program. I think one season he was there, they were 1-11 or 0-11, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so he didn't get any attention because of the success of the team. And running back is a funny position. There are just so many that come out every year. And, scouts are susceptible as anybody else to just jump at the guys who put up the gaudiest statistics.
Yeah.
And underrate the guys that, for whatever reason, weren't in as successful circumstances. And that's kind of where Alfred was. But
yeah,
it was pretty clear from early on in training camp, even before that, that this guy had the potential to be a really good back for him, and they didn't hesitate to start him in week 1.
Yeah. You know, with the TV views that are available to us today at home, you know, with the cameras right down on the deck looking at these guys, you can almost get in the game and you can follow people like Alfred Morris and you can see how well this guy reads the defense, you know, and
right,
and how well the offensive line is working for him.
Yeah. He's a really clever runner, you know. He doesn't overwhelm you with speed necessarily, but he has great vision. He's very patient, waiting for a hole to open, waiting for a block to develop for him. And although he takes a little bit of contact, yeah, he gets a lot of yards after the initial hit, which is, you know, really what separates the average back from the great back. You know, I mean, the only thing you worry about with him is he gets so much work during the course of the season. He carried it 335 times. There are only, I think, a half a dozen rookie running backs in history who've gotten the ball more. You just hope that he can hold up over the years, because clearly they've got something here.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious as to how many of these playoff teams, how many members of these playoff teams are looking toward the Washington Redskins and saying, man, where did these guys come from?
Well, you know, it doesn't take much when you get a quarterback. You know, when you get a quarterback, it makes a lot of things easier. You're almost in a situation where you're starting to fill in around the edges around them. You know, they just had a void there for a long time. And you know, the quarterback they finally got, you know, has a chance to be a top two, three quarterback in the league for a long time. He's pretty close to being there now.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest improvement plays usually make is from their first to second year. It'll be really interesting to see where RG3 is a year from now. I wouldn't be surprised if he was talked about it, maybe along with Andrew Luck, the other rookie who was taken one pick ahead of him in the draft. There's the two guys now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The battle with Seattle, slated for Sunday. How tough is this team for the Redskins?
Really tough draw. You know, you can make the argument that the Seahawks are playing as well as anybody in the conference, maybe anybody in the league. So they finished strong like the Redskins did. They won their last four. They scored 50 points in back-to-back weeks, which is almost unheard of. It happens every 25 years, maybe. And they're remarkably similar to the Redskins in certain ways. I mean, they like to run the ball. They've got a young quarterback, Russell Wilson, who had a season pretty comparable to RG3's, really. He was a kid who played some at North Carolina State and finished up his career at Wisconsin, had a really great college career, but fell in the draft because they weren't sure he was quite big enough. He's only 5'11". He's laid all those fears to rest in the first season here. He's thrown 26 touchdown passes and really, really been tremendous. So the Redskins are looking at a team that offensively is very similar to themselves. The difference between the two teams really is defensively. The Seahawks get up the fewest points in the league. I mean, it's a real strength for them. They can really get after quarterbacks. And it'll be interesting to see if the Redskins can keep the rush off RG3 so that this offense can function.
Yeah. You mentioned their quarterback's only 5'11". How tall is RG3, do you know?
6'2".
Okay.
6'2". Yeah, and I remember that was one of the big things at the combine. You know, they weigh people and they measure them, and sometimes how tall you are can make a huge difference in where you get drafted. I remember there being a lot of size when RG3 measured 6'2", because there was some question as to whether he was that tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, a couple more, and I'm going to let you run. Kyle Shanahan, possibility that he may, you know, vacate the Redskins after the end of the season?
Sure, I think so. I mean, he's done well in a couple of different places now. You know, he had a nice offense that he put together in Houston with Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson, and at the very, very end, Arian Foster. And, you know, he's come in here, and when he's had the players to work with, and this was the first year he really had some players to work with, this has been a tremendous offense.
Yeah.
And he's doing it with young players, which is really important to teams that are looking for head coaches, because, you know, it's a young league. You know, you have to be able to draft players and get them up and running quickly.
Yeah.
And he's shown that ability with RG3 and with Alfred Morris, too. So, I would think there'd be some interest in him. He's 32. That's pretty young. It's about as young as it gets as far as hiring a head coach. There have been a few in recent years that have been almost as young. John Gruden was almost that young when he got his first head job. Josh McDaniels left the Patriots and took over in Denver for a couple of years. And he was almost that young. So I think owners will be open-minded, and they probably think, too, well, you know, he's Mike Shanahan's kid, so he's probably 32 going on 62.
Mm-hmm. All right, and finally, I only have a few seconds left, but I wanted to get your comment. Right up the road, Ray Lewis retiring after this season. What's that going to mean for the Ravens?
Well, you know, he's aged gracefully, but he's not quite the dominant player he was when they won the Super Bowl in 2001 and in the years immediately following. I think they're going to be okay without him. It's more of a spiritual void, I think,
yeah,
than it is even his talent. You know, he's such a unifying force on that team. He's the type of player who just gets people to play together and play hard all the time. I mean, he's been the face of that franchise for a long time.
Yeah.
You wonder really who's going to step in there and fill that role for him now.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Dan, great to talk to you. We'll see what happens this weekend, and perhaps we'll be talking again next week about the Washington Redskins.
Thanks. Good, Andy. Thanks.
Take care. Dan Daly, Washington Times sports columnist. If you haven't checked it out, it's in today's Washington Times, entitled Players Soon May Equate Redskins with Winning. It's 529.